Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and this is a day I have been waiting for a very long time. You know, you finish writing a book, and then it goes through the editing process, and then the cover gets made, and eventually the book comes out. And today is the day that the book came out. And so it is an exciting day, and I hope you'll take advantage of this day by getting your copy of Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. It has been available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, but it is available in bookstores everywhere right now. And what's been interesting to me is the numbers of responses to the book already coming in. A lot of people are reacting to the book. Doug is a good example. He writes, "Sobering is the very first thought that came to mind after reading Muslim by Hank Hanegraaff. The second thought was Winston Churchill's statement to the House of Commons in 1948. Those that fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Anyone who reads Muslim, at least anyone who is objective, cannot come to any other conclusion than that we as a country and as a world are on the verge of doing exactly that, not learning from history." Mr. Hanegraaff's book has unveiled, through the primary sources of Islam's own theologians, that they've never changed in their means of spreading Islam throughout the world. Contrary to what is being communicated to the public about radical Islam being behind the terror we're witnessing in the 21st century, what we are experiencing is actually authentic Islam as practiced consistently since the 7th century as taught by Muhammad. The facts presented in the book speak for themselves, and I believe that anyone who reads it will never look at Islam as a peaceful religion again. Instead, they'll see it as an ideology that threatens the very existence of Western civilization. Another review on Muslim, and we've got some more coming up here in a second, is Muslim by Hank Hanegraaff is an exceptional and concise compilation of Islam's origin in history of extreme violence. It is brutally honest and well-researched. The history of the life of Muhammad is explicit and eye-opening. After a thorough background of its history, Hank eloquently compares and contrasts Islam with Christianity, revealing that the two religions could not be more diametrically opposite. Islam, whose God mandates war and submission, versus Christianity, whose God offers love and redemption. I would recommend this book to anyone who is concerned about ISIS and its global jihadist agenda to bring all of the Western world into submission of Allah. Also, I would recommend this book for anyone who is considering conversion to Islam. This book will definitely be added to my bookshelf as an excellent reference guide for Islam's history and for differentiating Islam from Christianity. Some of the The recommendations of the book are long, and some of them are short. One by Robin, excellent, well-written, and most informative. A must-read for knowledge. Information is presented in the style Hank is famous for. No punches pulled. Highly recommended. One more, in a word, courageous. Against everything this politically correct culture of ours wants us to believe about Islam, Hank Hanegraaff dares to tell the truth. Islam's turbulent history, as well as its insatiable appetite for violent jihad and dominance in the world today, is not only clearly articulated, but its religious doctrine masterfully compared to the truth of Christianity. Getting Muslim into the hands of as many people as possible might just be the jumpstart a lethargic church, and indeed our entire Western civilization, needs at this critical juncture of history. And the reviews keep pouring in. I just started seeing them about 5 minutes before I walked into the studio. Unfortunately, I had to be at the doctor's today, and as a result of that, I didn't get prepared. But those are just some of the reviews, which I just dumped all over the floor. But yeah, the book itself is now available through bookstores everywhere. And I'm pointing out that while the mantra has been shared so many times that it almost seems inviolate, Islam is not a peaceful and tolerant religion. Not only that, Islam is not a religion in the sanitized Western sense of the word. It is an all-encompassing socio-political legal matrix that has bred a worldview antagonistic to anything but itself. So, while there may be millions of tolerant Muslims, the religion of Islam is neither peaceful nor tolerant. And we should add to that that 1,600,000,000 strong is just the beginning, because Islam is growing dramatically. It is now poised to fill a vacuum left by Western culture, slouching inexorably towards self-extinction. And equally grave is the specter of global Islamic jihadism, which is now exacting mass genocide on Christians in the East and ever-multiplying terrorist attacks throughout the West. In Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, I relate the problems in memorable fashion, but I also move towards possible and very necessary solutions. The book, of course, is outlined around the acronym Muslim, the M of which stands for Muhammad. And I think that we ought to know that according to authoritative Muslim sources, and I'm not just talking about somewhat authoritative, I'm talking about the most authoritative Muslim sources, Muhammad, the quintessential man of Islam, married a six-year-old girl and consummated the marriage when she was but nine. And the greatest of his conquests, he had a Jewish man beheaded. He took his wife as booty, and then after having her beautified, forced on her his bed. Contrast that with Jesus Christ, who elevated women at a time when women were considered mere chattel. He rendered them what they are, made in the image and likeness of God and ontologically equivalent to men. And in Christianity today, we laud the second Eve, Mary, as an exemplar, someone that we look to as being humble, the very vessel that God chose in order to bring redemption into the world in bodily form. And then we think about the unreliable revelations that populate Quranic pages. It's important for all of us to recognize that Islam is not benign, even in a theological sense. They've ripped the very heart out of the historic Christian faith, which is the bedrock of Western civilization, which is an egregious action, which continues to be, well, repeated over and over again. This overt denial of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Look, if Christ was not crucified, he was never resurrected. This is taking the very essence of Christianity and destroying it. And that against the weight of all of history. You think about Quran 4:157, denying the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Not even secularists who are deadly set in opposition to Christ and his teachings deny his historicity, much less his crucifixion. And even worse, you have, well, maybe I shouldn't say even worse, but equally bad are the faulty ethics that militate against the way of Christ. In Islam, you can beat a woman as a man to bring her into subjection. And that's just the start of the inequity that is enshrined in Islam. And this, of course, is being glossed over in Western culture. And faulty ethics are not alone. There's feigned eloquence. And when you read the Quran, you find out just how egregious that is. Bottom line, when the Quran is spoken about as the most noble and eloquent of all scriptures in a category by itself, the truth of the matter is the emperor simply has no clothes. And then Sharia. In Islam, Sharia is state and state is Sharia. Simply put, there is no distinction in Islam between Sharia and state. And I think it's particularly troubling in that Sharia enshrines inequity for women as a core value. And if someone wants to know what it would be like to live under the domination of Islam, and many EU countries are moving in that direction, all you have to do is look back to what has been called the Andalusian paradise. The Andalusian paradise is a myth, and I lay that out in the book. It is an oft-repeated myth, but a myth nonetheless. The Levant is also very, very important in the outline of the book, because the Levant, the western rim of the Fertile Crescent, the crossroads of world history, the very area that gave birth to Judaism and Christianity, as a result, gave birth to Islam, is of surpassing significance to Muslims. It's at once the place where God, in their view, called Abram to sacrifice Ishmael, as well as the place to which Barak, a mulish beast with a human head and the tail of a peacock, transported Muhammad during his, well, his infamous night journey. The Islamic State, another subject that I address in the book, a moniker that is not only emblematic of a 21st century terror network, but is indicative of the way of Muhammad. And I conclude with major Muslim misapprehensions. They begin with the mother of all errors, which is a failure to apprehend the deity of Jesus Christ. In grave misapprehension, Islam renders Jesus Christ a mere slave of Allah and makes Jesus Christ a prophet who is of less significance than Muhammad. Muhammad is seen to be the culmination of the prophets. And during Muhammad's infamous night journey, he found that Jesus had only made it to rung two of the seven rungs of heaven. Whereas, of course, Muhammad not only got through all of the rungs, but was the first person in the history of the human race to stand in the presence of Allah, at least if you believe the Muslim religion. Again, a Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion, it is now in full release. Bookstores everywhere, including Amazon.com. Of course, when you get the book through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, all the proceeds go to the ministry. It is available for those who support the ministry. And if you join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to send you a copy of Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, personalized to you, a family member or a friend. It's my way of saying thank you for all of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. The number to dial to get your questions answered on today's broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
While legions of the theologically clueless and politically correct fall over themselves in their rush to paint a warmer and kinder picture of Islam, you might well be wondering, what's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff clearly answers the question in his new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive the book, Muslim, as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. For most Americans, pronouncements from our public officials that Islam is a religion of peace are impossible to reconcile with daily headlines and jarring photos of global Islamic jihadist atrocities. To help you understand the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and other life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. Randy, this again is a very important day to our ministry with the release of Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, now available in bookstores everywhere. Your questions don't have to be relegated to Islam, but obviously, if you have questions about Islam, happy to answer them along with whatever other question you might have. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Donna in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Hank. I'm just curious that you're saying that Islam puts Jesus as a prophet, and it's my understanding so does the Jewish religion, and I just wanted to know the difference, and should I hang up now?
Well, no, you can hang on. We can have a little conversation about it. But yeah, you know what's interesting about Islam, and Robert Spencer writes about this in the foreword to the book, Islam has a very high view of Jesus. It does not have a view of Jesus that is as high as the Bible's view of Jesus, because Islam believes that to suggest that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is an unforgivable sin. This is the idea that God has partners and therefore becomes unforgivable. In Judaism, Jesus Christ is not considered to be God either. And this was one of the great sins that is outlined in the scriptures. The Jews look on, particularly the teachers of the law, and they see Jesus performing miracles. And despite the fact that he is doing the miraculous, they will not concede that he is the promised Messiah. And as a result of that, they end up saying that he is doing what he's doing by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And in Christianity, that's the ultimate unforgivable sin. It is a failure, not in an act, but an ongoing, continuous action to recognize that Jesus Christ is Messiah, the only one who could walk through the doorway of the Old Testament prophecies, prophecies that include his ancestry, his birthplace, his crucifixion, the date of his visitation, the fact that he would be an extraordinary worker of miracles, that he would come to fulfill the law and the prophets, and that he would not be a parochial Jewish Messiah, but he would bring the gospel to the ends of the earth and demonstrate that God is not a respecter of persons, nor does he show favoritism based on a person's social standing, gender, or genealogy. So there is a sense in which Jews will acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ was a historical being, that he was crucified, but they will not accept him as the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament, revealed in the first century coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, one of my friends and guides in some of the tours I've done in Israel, Yuval Ross, always says to me over a cup of coffee as we hang out in Tel Aviv or wherever it happens to be, he says, the difference between you and me is that when Jesus Christ returns, you're going to think it's a return. It's his second coming. I believe when Jesus or Messiah comes, it will be his first coming. So the difference between you and me is you think that Jesus has already come. I'm still waiting for the Messiah to come.
Okay.
Makes,
and
yeah.
Don't the Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet?
They do believe that Jesus was a prophet, absolutely. But
they
do
don't
not
believe he was crucified?
They do not. In fact, the Quran explicitly denies the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So Quran 4:157 is very explicit when it comes to denying the crucifixion of Jesus Christ.
All right, thank you for answering my question.
You are welcome. And, you know, Robert Spencer, in the foreword to my book, points out that the depiction of Jesus in the Quran and Hadith, or traditions of Muhammad, include that Jesus is born of a virgin, he's called the Word of God, he speaks from the cradle, he performs miracles as a child, is sinless, and will return at the end of the world. None of this is said about Muhammad, and yet Muhammad is held to be the greater prophet, indeed, the seal of all the prophets. Next up, Sonny, listening on Sirius XM 131, in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Sonny.
Blessings, brother. Hey, and I really appreciate all the homework and everything you've done on this, but I'd like to have you do a little bit more. Put this on CDs or a USB plug, because there's a million CDLs out here, and we could be sitting there listening to it as they're going down the road. There's so many people that would love to be. People like me who don't read that well, probably by the time I get done with your book, Jesus would be back. So.
Well, you know what? Let me snap my fingers and answer your request. Actually, as of today, the book is available on CD. It is being released today on CD.
Tears to my eyes.
That's absolutely true.
Praise
it is
God.
Available as of today. It's also downloadable at Audible. So you can download the book if you don't want to use the old technology of CDs. I still remember. I mean, I remember doing this broadcast when you had to splice actual tape, and it was hard to imagine the time of CDs. I mean, I was trying to figure out, what is a CD and where do you put this thing? And of course, that all changed. We became very familiar with CDs, but now they have advanced to adding the downloadables.
Praise God. What a blessing it is. Yeah, I was talking to somebody, I mean, real recently, he's calling it tapes. I said, tapes? How old are you?
Exactly. Well, I still remember using rabbit ears to tune my TV, you know, moving those little rabbit ears around so you can get the picture. I still remember, I remember the discs that were, I guess, what do they call them, phonographs?
Taking the tubes up to the drugstore to see if the tubes work?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember all that stuff.
And when you were the remote control?
That's right. When I was the remote control, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Praise God, brother. Man, that just blessed my socks off hearing that.
Well, hey, thanks for calling in. You made my day.
Jesus loves you, and so do I.
Thank you, my friend. You know, one of the questions that comes in all the time is the Allah of Islam, the God of the Bible? And the reason that question comes up is that long before Muhammad was born, Arabic Christians already were referring to God as Allah. And millions, of course, continue to do so today. But the Allah of Islam is definitely not the God of the Bible. While Muslims passionately defend the unity of God, they patently deny his triunity. And they recoil at the notion of God as Father. They reject the unique deity of Jesus Christ the Son, and they renounce the divine identity of the Holy Spirit. So you have Jesus, the Master, teaching his disciples to pray, "Our Father in heaven," while devotees of Muhammad find that very notion, well, offensive to say the least, because to their way of thinking, calling God Father or calling Jesus Christ Son suggests sexual procreation. And according to the Quran, and this is a direct quote, "It is not fitting to the majesty of Allah that he should beget a son." I think you find that in Surah chapter 19. "Allah begetteth not, nor is he begotten," Surah 112. But the Bible does not use the term begotten in this sense of sexual reproduction. It rather uses the term in the sense of special relationship. And therefore, when the Apostle John spoke of Jesus as the only begotten of the Father, he was underscoring the unique divinity of Jesus Christ. Not only so, but when the Apostle Paul referred to Jesus as the firstborn over all creation, he was, of course, emphasizing that Christ was preeminent, that he had the prime position as the creator of all things. Christians are sons of God through adoption. Jesus is God the Son from all eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, invisible and visible. Whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And as Paul goes on to say, he's the head of the body, the church. And we, by God's grace, made in the image and likeness of God, are living stones in the temple of God. And this is why Muslims need not fear the idea of another temple on Temple Mount, because the ultimate temple has come. He was rejected, but nonetheless was the living temple, not a temple built by hands, not a temple of glistening gold and luminous limestone, but a temple that replaces temple, priest, and sacrifice as the ultimate sacrificial lamb. And if we place our trust in Christ, he will not only save us, but he will give us life that is life to the full. Muhammad cannot do that. Only the crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue, the only begotten of the Father, can do that very thing. We'll be back in just a moment with a scintillating quote of the day, as well as more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Lens Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. The current narrative is that to tell the truth in this regard is tantamount to radicalizing Muslims and exacerbating hostilities that may otherwise lie dormant. A common refrain has reverberated throughout the West: Islam is not our enemy. As well-intentioned as this mantra may be, the danger in this stance becomes clear once someone understands Islam in full. Read the new book by Hank Hanegraaff, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI. and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. equip.org. For all the debate over Islam and its growing presence in the world, one thing is often overlooked. Islam is not a religion in the sanitized Western sense. It is, in contrast, an all-encompassing socio-political legal matrix that has bred a worldview antagonistic to anything but itself. While there may be millions of peaceful and tolerant Muslims, many of them are neighbors, Islam itself is hardly peaceful and tolerant. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. When Barack Obama was president of the United States, he was fond of saying that the very word Islam comes from salam, meaning peace. He repeated that over and over again, but that does not make it true. The Quran does not define the word Islam is peace. Islam means submission, submission to the will of Allah. And many have experienced Sharia firsthand and therefore do not share Obama's enthusiasm for the religion. What he lauded as wonderful in terms of a system of law and life, they have seen to be systematic oppression. And that leads me to the quote of the day. It comes from Heretic. This is former Muslim Ayan Hirsi Ali, as she explains the horror of Sharia for women. Repeatedly, says Ali, women are considered under the code to be worth at most half a man. Sharia subordinates women to men in a multitude of ways. The requirement of guardianship by men, the right of men to beat their wives, the right of men to have unfettered sexual access to their wives, the right of men to practice polygamy, and the restriction of women's legal rights in divorce cases, in estate law, in cases of rape, in court testimony, and in consent to marriage. Again, the quote of the day from the book Heretic, written by the former Muslim Ayan Hirsi Ali. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to John, listening in New Jersey on Sirius XM 131. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
It's a pleasure speaking with you. I have a question. This has been on my heart to really find out more about it. It's the teaching of Robert Henderson, Unlocking Destinies from the Courts of Heaven. We're doing a six-week study on this at church, and I've never really understood this kind of teaching, and I wanted to really find out more about it and tried researching it on the internet and couldn't really find anything.
You're talking about Robert Henderson, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And, well, you know, according to Henderson, we need to learn the legal processes of heaven and then how to operate in its courts in order to grant God. I mean, this gets pretty ridiculous, particularly when he's on these sensationalistic shows on TBN like Sid Roth. But in order to grant God the legal clearance to answer our prayers, obviously this is sheer nonsense, and it puts the emphasis in exactly the wrong place. So it's hard for me to imagine a church using this book as a handbook for study within the context of a healthy, well-balanced body.
Wow. Okay, yeah, because, yeah, this has been going on like every Wednesday evening, and I've been going to it at the church, and one of the things that he said was when we die, before we, and God's going to open up a book, he has books on each one of us, and he's going to open up that book and see what we did in our lives, and is it going to measure up to what God had written before? You know, when it says that God has our plan before the foundation of the world, he's going to open that book and see whether we fulfilled what God had for our destiny to fulfill in this life.
Well, I mean, there is a sense in which if you look at Revelation, you see a great white throne and him who is seated on it, earth and sky fled from his presence, and there is no place for them. And then you see the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books are opened. And then the text says another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And then death and Hades is thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. So there's a sense in which we can say legitimately that there's a separation between sheep and goats, and then there's a judgment of both sheep and goats, which is to say that there are degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. Now, the books are a way of talking about the fact that God knows all that we have done in our earthly life. And when we stand before Him, there are rewards for those who have been faithful. And this is commensurate with what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where he says, there's no foundation that anyone can build other than the foundation of Jesus Christ, but on that foundation we can build. We can build either using gold, silver, or costly stones, or wood, hay, stubble, inferior materials. And the day of the Lord will reveal what we have built with. If what we built survives, we will receive rewards. If not, we will suffer loss. We will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So there is a biblical basis for the notion of God having a record of what we did and judging us according to that record. So there are books, as it were, of mercy and books of merit. The book of mercy is metaphorically a way of talking about the fact that the foundation is Jesus Christ. The books of merit are indicative of the fact that we can build on that foundation and lay up for ourselves, as Jesus put it, treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal.
Yes. Yeah, because they were talking about how you go into go before God in heaven, and it's as if you're going before a judge, and you plead your case, and Satan is there, and he's trying to plead his case against you, and he has a right to hold you, and he has something against you or whatever, and you know, it's just very confusing to me.
Well, you know, what is confusing is that Satan himself will be judged. That's not as though he has some equal position, you know, the yin and the yang. You have Satan and God, and Satan is bringing the accusations. I mean, Satan brings accusations against the brethren in this life. But remember, God is omniscient. He knows all things. And when we stand before Him, we can be thankful that we're not dressed in the filthy robes of our own self-righteousness, but rather the splendor of Christ's righteousness. And again, we are called to build on the foundation, which is to say that what we do now counts for all eternity.
Okay. My last question would be, then I should stay away from this type of teaching then. Is that correct?
Well, I think so. I mean, this is one of the problems that we have today. The problem that we have essentially is that people are biblically illiterate, and as a result of that, they don't have discernment skills, and they fall for kind of the sensationalism going through the church. And this is a classic example of sensationalism. That's why you find people like Robert Henderson on the Sid Roth show.
Right. Okay, well, I think you've helped me out with that, because I've always been struggling with what is everybody talks at the church. Everybody's talking about, have you found your destiny in God, and what does God want you to do in your destiny? And I don't understand that, because I mean, to me, it's just to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. And
well, I don't think it's just that. To be honest with you, I think that a lot of people think it is just that. I think it's more than that. Again, going back to the Apostle Paul, he's asking us to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. So what we do now lasts for all eternity. Behold, I come quickly, said Jesus. My reward is with me, and I'll give to everyone according to what he has done. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Itico. I don't know if I'm pronouncing your name correctly, in Washington. Hi.
I recognize it.
Yeah, how do you do that?
It's Itico.
Itico.
Thank you for talking to me, Dr. Hanegraaff. I would like to just share a very small story. I came from Hungary. I was born there and studied Hungarian history. And the Turkish Muslims was actually invading Central Europe and in Hungary. for 150 years, and this was in the 1500s. Today, actually, last year, the Hungarian Prime Minister Orbán actually built a wall between Serbia and Hungary, where these migrants, Muslim migrants, were coming through. And Viktor Orbán, the Prime Minister, was actually talked down by the European Union as well as U.S. Previous administration that what is it that they are doing? I mean, the migrants, poor fellows. So this is just I wanted to share with you.
Well, I'm glad you did.
The Hungarian learns from history.
Yeah, I'm so glad you did. I just watched a movie actually on the plane coming back from Southern California yesterday, and on the plane I watched a movie called The Promise. Now, it doesn't deal with Hungary. It deals with the Armenian genocide, and that took place in very recent history. I mean, that took place in 1914 and following, and at that time, at least 1.5 million Armenians, Greeks, and so forth were killed. It's one of the greatest slaughters in the history of the human race, and I read about it in the book, and yet the Turkish government has never acknowledged it. The Promise is a fantastic movie that outlines this. I mean, it's a great movie. There's also a documentary coming out on this, but this has been squarely in the blind spot of the West as well. But in general, what you're talking about is the horrors of the Ottoman Turks or the Ottoman Empire. And most certainly they reached their zenith somewhere around the 16th century, but some of its most horrible atrocities are in recent memory. As I said, the Armenian genocide. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the show. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Did you know that the Quran and the Hadith are full of commands to subjugate or kill unbelievers, and that Sharia mandates proactive and perpetual war against Jews and Christians? In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches.
and this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.